So a key component of how we approach DEI at Box is rooted in an acronym, CARE. The C stands for curiosity, the A for accountability, R, respect, E for empathy. And this is the same strategy I use and I coach our leaders and any folks in this space to use when it comes to these different or nuanced conversations relates to crises or anything that's deeply personal and could have a more heightened attention conversation, right?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intent to Impact, the ERG podcast. This show is designed to help DEI and ERG leaders build and scale impactful employee resource groups. I'm your host, Dumebi Egbuna, co-founder of Chezzy, and we're joined today by Takayla King, head of belonging at Box. Takayla, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you. Excited for this conversation.
Super excited. So to start off, we like to ask our guest if you can provide our audience with an overview of the ERGs at Box and then just share a bit more about your role in supporting those communities.
Yeah, absolutely. And so first of all, as you mentioned, my name is Takayla King, head of belonging at Box. And at Box, we have 11 highly engaged employee resource communities. We call them ERCs. I know a lot of companies call them ERGs, but community is a core leader mindset at Box, and we're really heavily rooted in community. So we've made that shift to communities very intentionally. And so those groups, they operate globally. They support and fostering inclusive spaces for diverse communities at Box, which include professional development, social engagement, and external community efforts. We have everything from our Black Excellence Network to our Box Women's Network. And we just launched actually last year, it's called Box Abilities. And that ERC is focused on disability and accessibility. And they have been probably the talk of the town, if you will, over the past year. They have had a lot of engagement, in particular with the business and our product org. And so super excited to work with those groups.
So you touched on it a bit, but would love a little bit more color. So how do your ERGs fit into the overall belonging strategy at Box? And like, what goals are they really driving for your org?
Yes, as I mentioned, a core component of our ERCs is highly focused on employee engagement and employee inclusion, but it is impossible to dissect that from the business. And so they partner across our employee lifecycle, partnering with our learning and development team and with the trainings. They partner with our benefits team in terms of giving feedback and updating our benefits, but also they partner with the business. And so for the example of what I gave you with our Box Abilities ERC focused on disability and accessibility, Box released our AI product. And prior to doing that in the development phase of it, they partnered with this ERC and all of our ERCs actually, to understand how do we mitigate bias in AI? Yeah. Because you know, AI products, there can be bias in the responses that are given or bias in the results, right? And so in the product development phase of that, they partnered with our Box Abilities ERC to understand how do we make our product more accessible? And then they partnered with the remainder of our ERCs to run tests on responses to make sure that we can mitigate bias in those responses as well.
I'm loving this trend of ERGs being core components of product development. When did that start for the ERCs at Box? Is that a recent thing?
Yeah. I think it's been in small elements at Box, but I think recently in the height of Box Abilities, it really started this core conversation around accessibility. And I think accessibility being a core part of tech, right, is super important. But having the community aspect of that, which was always there, but I think it speaks to the importance of ERCs in general, is just having this community that you can go to, right? Because these folks exist in the company, but having a space that they can go to and be in community with others that they relate to, it provided our product team, provided others in the business to say, hey, we have this product coming down the line. Maybe let's go to this group and get their feedback on it in an authentic way. I want to make sure it's not, I always add that piece of it. Not just like, oh, well, let's just go to this group and see what their thoughts are. It's about building in that intentionality in the product development phase to say, hey, we recognize that based on the research that we've done, here are some of the gaps that we have and would love your support in mitigating some of those. So I think it's been a piece of it, but I think, you know, we're not perfect at it,
sure.
But we're building that muscle. And I think it all started, you know, in a more intentional way with developing this Box Abilities ERC. You know, our Box Women's Network has been a core component in some of the things we've done with our partners and our customers. Yeah. And so amplifying women inside of the tech industry, which we know there are some challenges in terms of representation. conversation. And that way, we've had our Box Women's Network and our Women in Tech ERC amplify the Box product in that way too.
Gotcha. Well, I could go down that rabbit hole, but we're actually here to talk about a completely different topic, which is ERG is kind of in this role of, you know, crisis management. So obviously in recent years, there have been a lot of social, economic, and political events such as COVID-19 or Black Lives Matter movement, or even more currently, the war in the Middle East. So from your perspective, what roles are your ERCs playing in supporting employees during these times?
It's interesting. And I think there was a podcast you just did recently where they were talking about clarifying the difference between ERCs and business resource groups, right? Yeah. And I think, you know, the question that you're asking is related in the sense that in a business, we have to get really crystal clear around what the focus and components of our ERC, the scope of our ERCs are, right? And our ERCs have been a core component of employee inclusion. And what their role has been providing a safe space for conversation, a mm-hmm. safe space for folks to go and have within a common identity to speak about what is happening within the community, what resources they need, but also to provide that feedback back to us for the businesses in terms of what they need. I think what has been really important, and I think from a business aspect, is to not, you know, seek the ERCs to be like, okay, well, this is like, y'all, you know, like here, like what we have, there's back, like y'all go figure it out. But our ERCs are, you know, they provide listening circles. They provide fundraisers for organizations, and that external outreach component has been super important. Have you heard about our Box.org foundation?
I haven't. Mm-mm.
Okay. It's our philanthropic foundation. And one of their pillars is crisis response. And so I'll give you the example of the recent war in the Middle East. Not only did we provide listening circles and support internally for folks, but we also did a fundraiser to support organizations that were going out into the Middle East to provide hands-on aid. And so our pillar of that, right, they partnered with our foundation to do that because they saw a need externally. And so they play a role, I believe, a really strong role in providing voice to employees in times of need, providing feedback on the resources that we have, and being a strong partner in that way.
On the feedback piece, on a podcast with Allison Crawford from LinkedIn, she mentioned that ERGs sometimes are responsible for putting out comms around things that are happening in recent events, or even from a business standpoint, the business needs to put out comms around recent events. Do you get feedback on what to say from your ERGs for those events? So I'm thinking of like the Black Lives Matter movement, the murder of George Floyd. Like there was a need for a company to kind of make that stance. Was Box getting feedback or looking for feedback from the ERCs, or like what does that relationship look like?
I'm going to give you some context and I'm going to answer the question as to how we kind of work our way to these comms. And I think it kind of alludes to the question you were asking before, to what role they play. And so at Box, what we've built is because what I've felt is that there's been so many things that have been happening in the world, right? They're crisis. So we are going to go out. All of these identities show up in a different way and experience show up in a different way, right? And so at Box, what we've built is what's called some kind of a rubric or a framework to help us understand, like, what are the steps that we need to take to show up in a responsible way? Something I coach people on is we're not going to always get it perfect, but what are the steps that we can take to be responsible and intentional in our action, depending on the situation? And when it comes to comms, that is truly built on that rubric too, right? We need to speak up. We need to say something about this and message go out. And we ask for them. It's not like a part of their role that's built up. Like a must. It's something that we ask their support in terms of, because I think it's important for you to go to the community, but I think it's important that community voice is built into that messaging as much as possible. Sometimes that's the ERCs. Sometimes that's seeking folks that are not a part of the ERCs that also identify with those communities. It just truly depends on the situation. And as I mentioned before, all situations should not be approached with like, oh, this is the same thing that happened last year. So like the feelings, emotions out rising are going to be the same. So let's just copy and paste that approach. But I think there's always a way that, you know, companies can approach it with responsibility and intentionality. And I think ERCs are a strong component to that.
You touched on this a bit. So recently, there's been a lot of discussion around the role of ERGs, particularly because ERG leadership is usually unpaid in a voluntary position. So when it comes to supporting employees in times of crisis, do you think this is a burden or responsibility that should fall on the ERGs? Why or why not?
Yeah, I don't believe that this work should fall solely on any one group, in particular employee resource groups. And I always say that about DEI, right? When we're speaking about DEI, it's always like, maybe that's somebody else's role over there, right? I don't think in general, this work should fall on any group. And that's always my coaching. And when I say the word consultant, I want to reframe that word because I can come off a little like business oriented, like you're a consultant. And that's that it's more so they are a strong, you know, stakeholder in that, like their voice and their experience, anything that you're putting out that impacts the experience and identity of a group. I think they are a stakeholder in that. That's not like, it's your responsibility. It's your sign off. It's, hey, I'm putting something out and I would love your perspective in it. And so in times of employee crisis, it becomes an all in approach, engaging groups across the organization that are stakeholders and to the employee experience. ERCs are a piece of that work, but should not be the key consultant, the key stakeholder in that at all. I think they are one of the many stakeholders in that space. And as allies to any ERC or any support, it's important that you go into that space with an understanding of what does that community look like? What is the background, the history of that community? What does support look like? Which is where I see an ERC playing a role, is being, you know, the space where they provide that perspective of, you know, this is where we're hurting. This is what we're hearing. And our ERC provide that safe space and community for folks to do that, right? And as I mentioned before, that rubric that we've built has been a space for us to kind of lay that out in a way that's intentional and responsible for our ERCs to say, okay, here's the action and the research that we've done in the background.
Right.
Give us what we need. Here's the action, the resource we have to provide to you. And having that voice that they provide is super important.
Yeah. It feels like their main responsibility is just that community piece, right? It's just like offering space to have those difficult conversations or to lean on them. And then they can help them in other ways. But I think their core responsibility is just that, like,
amplifying voice too, right? I found in some companies they do listening sessions and they'll invite, you know, allies to the conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's like a space for, they'll like have a session and they'll invite, you know, people in the community to share their experiences and they'll have allies or want to learn more there. And I think those spaces are important for what they're important for, you know. Also, as we think about amplifying voice, it's also important sometimes for those communities to be in community together. And it is not a space for learning. The experience is a space for sharing of the experience. And I think that's an important distinction to make. And I think even in the terms of what I'm talking about in coming to the community, it's important for us to be respectful of what that looks like and respectful of that experience in general, because I think those two things cannot be mixed, right? Responsibly. And I think that's one of the ways in which we can do that.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like this topic of allyship can be polarizing in and of itself. Like allies, obviously they want to be involved, they want to support. But I think part of being an ally is knowing when to kind of step back and let the community come together and share their experience and show up more authentically.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it all goes back to having an education and understanding of what an ally truly is, right? Because I think, just throwing the word ally around, I'm an ally. And I think to your point, sometimes as an ally, that means taking a step back and instead of being in this space, going and doing my own research and, you know, and understanding what support looks like from the community versus coming together, versus writing everything out myself and taking action. I think it's, and that's a part of what, going back to the messaging component of it, is taking a step back and waiting to understand or listening to understand what the community needs. And sometimes it's a communication, sometimes it's just listening, right? And I think that's where tying back to the community is super important.
Yeah. So I know that you mentioned that in times of crisis, y'all will sometimes do like listening tours or listening sessions. So what are some strategies for navigating conversations around polarizing topics such as politics or foreign affairs within ERG communities? In the workplace, you don't know if you want to have certain conversations. You don't know how to provide space for, because these are can get heated, right? Yeah. So what are some strategies that you've implemented to keep things civil, but also have open dialogue?
Yeah, I'm answering it two different ways. One, okay. I'm answering from like perspective. I'm answering it maybe from like a Tequila King personal guy practitioner. You know, separate from that, I think you know these conversations are you know so deeply personal for folks, and I think it's really important to think of it in that way. If you can go into like, I want to have a very you know quiet conversation, yeah. You know, but like some. Sometimes those emotions just aren't, you know, that's, and, yeah. And I think it's important to create that space or have that respect and empathy for that as well, right? And so a key component of how we approach DEI at Box is rooted in an acronym, CARE. The C stands for curiosity, the A for accountability, R, respect, E for empathy. And this is the same strategy I use and I coach our leaders and any folks in this space to use when it comes to these different or nuanced conversations. Yeah. Relates to crises or anything that's deeply personal and could have a more heightened attention conversation, right? And so I'll start with empathy, approaching the situation with empathy and being aware of our own biases going into this conversation, right? And removing that from the situation. And so just going back to our conversations before, right? You're showing up as an ally in this space. And depending on what the community needs, is that me listening or is that me not being in that space, right? And it's very easy to go in with action versus rooting in community needs. And so having that balance at the moment is really important. The accountability piece, that A, and so being very clear on the intention and the purpose of the conversation, right? Is it listening or is it action, right? Mm-hmm. And being in that space in the beginning, like truly, you know, when you send out a meeting notice or whatever that is, or when you're kind of having that conversation initially about, you know, even before the meeting, being very clear around the intention of that. And so for the folks who are in the room so that they understand, like, this is what we are looking to get out of it. And that kind of helps people ground in a space, right? Yeah. Of what we're looking to get out of it, right? And that also means knowing who's in the room and what they're going to be doing, right? Right. Yeah. Because our leaders can build into action, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get our actions going. And so being very crystal clear on why they're in that space and who's in that space. And then the respect component and that empathy piece, right? Starting with the community needs and what they're trying to achieve. And as I said before, these emotions can be heightened, right? And leaving space and room for that. And being willing to receive feedback in that too, right? And understanding that even though you showed up responsibly, it may not be perfect, and being willing to have that space for it. Anytime I approach a conversation, when we frame out these conversations, just approaching it with that CARE methodology, that curiosity, accountability, that respect, and the empathy, and using those to help build it out. And then the last thing, which I always, so we start every conversation with the safe space guidelines, right? Like, here are the guidelines we're going to follow in this space, being present. We're going to be respectful. Going back to our values, we have a value just rooting in that. Mm. I think, you know, saying the Tequila King personal aspect of things, I think as, you know, I think a lot of DEI practitioners can relate, and it goes back to remove my own, but I'm in spaces sometimes where I'm listening to people as a DEI practitioner. I'm in that space as a DEI, I'm head of belonging, right? Yeah. But I identify in that space too, right? Yeah. And that can be particularly hard. And I think that's important. It's a balance that you have to understand of, I'm going to remove my bias because my experience may not be present in this experience, right? My role in this space, in this moment, is to be a listener and to be an advocate. And I think that's, once again, going back to being very clear on your intention and purpose of the conversation in the beginning, right? To build that trust.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think it's really important to establish those guidelines or ground rules before taking on these types of, like, conversation spaces, just because, you know, these are polarizing topics. They are, I think someone is coming into the room with like, this is a matter of life and death. It's affecting my family. It's affecting my community. So obviously I'm passionate about it and emotional about it. So I think it's just important to like always keep that in mind and that like I like the assume good intent. Like they might be saying it in a way that is like passionate or maybe even heightened or emotional, but like, you know, it deeply affects them. So I appreciate that. I guess going into or continuing on this framework of like having these conversations, what training are you providing to your ERG leaders in order to effectively support and engage their communities during these times? A lot of times your ERG leaders aren't necessarily trained in DEI work. They're usually doing this from a place of passion for their community. So how are you giving them the tools to effectively have these conversations?
Like these are folks who just have a space of passion. For their communities. And I think in particular in these times of need, I keep going back to what is the clear purpose and intention of what our ERCs are. And they DEI SMEs, you know, so most of them are, right? They are not DEI, you know, don't have certifications in DEI work at all, but ensuring that they have training around having difficult conversations, depending on if they are the folks who are having them, right? But ensuring that they have training on difficult conversations. We also provide the rubric that I shared with you earlier to our ERC so they know who are the contacts for what, who do I contact for mental health resources, who do I contact for fundraisers if I want to do a fundraiser for my community. They know, obviously, they know to contact me, right? Here's how to, you know, set up a meeting room, a safe space guideline, how to do that. And who do I consult with is usually me to set up that space. How do I get in contact with my executive sponsor and who is that executive sponsor? And so those are the two framings. One is the resources of like, who are the folks that I can reach out to immediately and they can provide those to their communities. And then the second component is how do I have a difficult conversation? And I go back to the war in the Middle East or Black Lives Matter, right? Those are conversations from a listening session perspective where we involve leaders. Ideally, these are being led not by community leaders, right? Because they are in a space of hurting. And so it truly depends on where's the community at and their ability to foster their own conversation, because it's very difficult to lead a conversation for other folks when you're also feeling in that. And so that's where that partnership and consultancy comes in of what space are you in, where advocate and ally can I lean in, and what does support look like for you?
I think that's an important distinction. So when are ERG leaders taking on that conversation for themselves? And then when are they not? And who are they passing it to if it's not them leading it?
Yeah, that's a question, right? So I think it goes back to that rubric that we have. Yeah. And once again, this is not like a perfect to the T, going to shoot out 100% from the three. And that is not what it is. It's saying, okay, in these circumstances where, and I'll use the example of Black Lives Matter, right? This was a, you know, widespread, very high tension, emotionally driven topic, right? Yeah. And our community leaders were not in a space to lead that conversation themselves, right? Yeah. And this is a space where we definitely needed to show up responsibly. But I think in order to do that, there's trust that needs to be built. So I'm jumping over the trust piece of things for the purpose of this conversation, but there's trust that needs to be built. But in those kind of conversations, ideally our community leaders are not driving that, but an individual who they trust, whether that's an executive sponsor, whether that's myself as the head of belonging, is leading that conversation. But it's a community leader that they trust is coming into that space. And I'll use an example of, we just had, you know, there was a shooting that happened in Colorado Springs at a gay bar. And it was two years ago, a shooting occurred at a queer bar and the community was hurting. And our community led that conversation, right? Our community said that we want to have this conversation, check in with our community, see how they're feeling. And so, and once again, that goes back to that partnership and understanding, you know, here's who we have. Here's the conversation that we want to have. This is a space that we want to. Is that what space that you want to contribute to?
That's so good. Last question. So what resources or support do you offer your ERC leaders to help prevent burnout during emotionally charged situations?
Yeah. One thing that we do is we have a benefits service that offers mental health support, and it's available 24/7 year round. They get these sessions that they can go to throughout the year. But on an unlimited basis, they have community-led circles that they can do where, you know, it's identified, like if I'm a black boxer, we call our employees boxers. If I'm a black boxer, I can go to this circle and share out. And what we did that because we received feedback that sometimes it's difficult for me to talk about how I'm experiencing or feeling inside the company. Right. I didn't get a comment under that way. And so they have that available to them, and we've received positive feedback around that. But what we've also done is we've launched a quarterly initiative where we bring in various topics, leveraging a mental health professional. And so our most recent one, following what happened on October 7th, we had an event called Processing Stressful World Events. And so that was led by a mental health professional. And then we do these on a quarterly basis, depending on feedback that we get from the community around what is needed, right? And from boxers around what is needed, or what are some of the topics or things that you're struggling with. And I think that in of itself is a space of just, you know, healing. And I found in just like a rejuvenation this past February, we did a kickoff where we invited all of our ERC leads to Redwood City, where our headquarters are. And they all were in community together and sharing of like some of the difficult things that they, you know, are overcoming, or some of the challenges mm-hmm. that they're having. And I think there is something to be said about there, you know, we have the resources. It could be like a one pager. We have these mental health professionals, but like in community with each other and a common identity, like here's this healing and space that we can provide. So we have the internal support, the external support, but that community support, what I've found has been truly the grounding for a lot of our employees. And so ensuring that you have a space where community leaders can come together, whether that's your monthly session, your monthly meetings that you have, or quarterly meetings, carving out a space for that where folks can share, best practice share, or even just, you know, vent a little bit, I think is the important.
I think that's a great way to end the podcast. Kayla, thank you so much for joining us on Intent to Impact.
Okay. Do you mind if I add one more thing to this before yeah. I jump on? I think, you know, we've talked a lot about crises and, you know, in that space, but I also think there's a space for celebration. Like, you know, how do we show up for our ERCs in times of celebration? How do we support yeah. them through times of celebration? And I know that our ERCs, our communities have been through a lot. There's a lot of things that are occurring in the world abroad, but there's also been, you know, moments of true celebration and joy that our ERCs have had, and making sure that we show up in that way for them as well, and provide. And when there's not, you know, there's not that, you know, that true sense of like a world event that happens that fosters celebration, ensuring that you're also inserting that in a way. And so, for example, we just had Trans Day of Visibility, and that's been now the national day. And so we celebrated along with our Pride community in that. And so there's so much hardship in these communities, but I think what we can all do and continue to do is show up in the celebratory moments as well, and make sure that we amplify those just as much as we do the times of crises.
Yeah, thank you for that reminder. It was a more sobering podcast, I guess, but I think that's a good way, a better way to end than before. So I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, I know you have a LinkedIn. It's to Kayla King.
I'm guessing. Yes, to Kayla King. You can find me on LinkedIn, to Kayla King. And yeah, I'm always open to chatting with other DEI practitioners, or even if you have any feedback on some of the things that I shared today, I'm always open to that. And I'm always open to improving, always open to best practice sharing as well. So if there's things that you all are doing that can help shift some of the things that I've shared with you today, I'm always happy to listen and exchange ideas. So yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.